Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. I love being in church together. So glad you're here. So I want to welcome you if you're a guest. Thanks for coming. Just to explain what we're doing, we're in a series called Core, and my hope and my job is to inspire us as a church to understand our church vision and how to move into the core group of people that are helping lead the church. And so that's my goal through this series. If you've been here for the last several weeks, which most of you have, you've heard me repeat some of the stuff over and over, and whatever is repeated is what is remembered. And so I will continue to repeat until it's locked in our hearts. Amen to that, church? Amen. Yeah, thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thanks for this day. Lord, I thank you for the church that worships together, and we sing hallelujah to you. I thank you, Lord, for a church body that gathers each week, and we come to worship you. And Jesus, we want you to be glorified today, even in the message here. Let that be what's remembered, all about Jesus. Help us to lean in for the next little bit as we grow and we learn about you. Father, in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. So let me take us to our vision statement. I know we've been doing this over and over. We're going to continue, as I said, and I'm going to read the first part, and then we're all going to read the second part together. So Life Community Church is helping you find life in Jesus. And we're getting better at that. You know, we've never been a church that reads stuff together, and so it's a whole new territory for us as we step into reading stuff together. Wow, we're really growing. But hey, the idea is, though, is we want to help you find life in Jesus. We want you to discover a life in Jesus and how good it is to know him, to serve him, and to be saved and forgiven. And so 1 John 5:12 is a verse that we use, and it says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever knows Jesus Christ knows the life that's in him. And we want to help everybody. We want your neighbors. I want your family. I want the city to know Jesus Christ. That drives us as a church. That's what we want to do, is help people find life. The second part of that verse is a little disturbing, because whoever does not have God's Son, whoever does not believe in Jesus, does not have eternal life. And that moves us. That drives us. And so we are here to help you find life in Jesus. We've identified five purposes as foundations to build your life on. And if you will incorporate these five purposes into your life, you will form a foundation for everything else in your life. So there needs to be a foundation that you build your life on. And so these five purposes, and let me share these with you, these are the five purposes that all of us need to build on our life. And the first is evangelism. And this is how we help you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. All of life begins by knowing Jesus, having your sins forgiven, and living for him. That's the first foundational step for all of us. The second is worship. Worship is how we center our life around Jesus. This is how we focus our life on him. We glorify Jesus. We all need to worship. We'll all worship something in our life. Whatever we put as first and most important is actually what we worship. And so on Sunday, we come together to worship, and all the aspects of our service help you to focus and know Jesus and make him first place in your life. The third place is grow. And this is the third foundation to build your life on. And grow is how we help you become strong in your faith and become a better person. How do you become strong in your faith? It's through your personal quiet time with the Lord. Who was here last week for the message on that last week? Awesome. I hope that you began to apply that in your life and spend time with God. Out of that personal walk with God is where you find strength for every day. And so we want to help you grow. The next is community. I'll be talking about community today in my message. The community is how we help you connect with a community of believers. And the next and last purpose that you need in your life is really to discover purpose. Discover why you're here and how you can use your gifts and talents to help build the church and build the kingdom of God. When you know those five things and when you live those things, they become a foundation that helps you have a better marriage, helps you have a better career, a better education. Everything builds off of these foundations. And so what we've done is we've designed this to be in a way we know our progress. And so we've put it into a bullseye. And so if you go from city to core, we're trying to help people get to the core. And let me explain this process of progress to you, because Everyone begins in a city. The city are those people who are lost or unchurched in our city. And we do evangelism to help us reach those people. That's why we're doing Summer Jam to come, because we want to do a bridge event to help people who are in our city come visit an event and then come to church, and then they give their life to Christ and their life is changed and they build the foundation of their life. And so city is the first circle. The second circle that we want to move people into is the congregation. Now the congregation is the next ring on the list there. And so congregation are the people who regularly attend and worship in our services here. And so we want to help everyone move from the city to here. Now we want to know if you've done that. We have a way of determining who has moved to that ring. And so we have a class called New to Life CC. And when you attend that class on September 1st, 2019, which is coming up, and our class is going to be 9:15, 11:15, you can sign up on the website. But when you take that class, we're going to know you're part of this congregation. And that's how we know. If you don't take the class, we won't know. We just won't know. And so we want to know, I want you to know where you are on the process. So the third ring you'll see on the bullseye is committed. And this is where you are committed to growing your walk with God. And so how do you move into that ring? Well, you take the next class, the Grow class. It's on September 8th, and it's here, and 9:15, 11:15, sign up online. And if you take that class, we'll teach you more about having a personal walk with God, a devotion time with God. And this is how we'll know you've moved into that ring. Cool? All right, next, connected. We want to help you get connected to a group, a small group, and in our serve teams. People who are connected are in relationships, in small groups and teams, and you can sign up today to get connected. You can walk right out these doors after service. We have a booth there. There's a place for you to sign up to get in a small group, and all you got to do is tell the person, hey, I want to get in a small group, and they'll say, great, we want you to, and they'll take your name, we'll help you. Or you can say, hey, I want to be on the serve team. I want to be part of the awesome team of people that help lead our kids and do small groups with kids, or I want to be part of the breakdown team that takes all this stuff down, and we're going to say, great, let's take your name, and then we'll get you plugged in. It'll be great. You can do it today. Amen? Awesome. Now, the last group, core. This is where we're helping move people to. And this is the group of people who have discovered their purpose and they're using their gifts and talents to help build the church. And in order to do that, you take this class. The purpose class begins on the 15th. It's a two-week class because there's just too much good information to do it in 1 week. So you get to take it for 2 weeks. It's awesome. You'll love it. You'll discover your gifts and talents, and you'll, you know, you have a spiritual gift, and we want to help you discover that. We want to help you find out how God has shaped you, and so you can use your gifts and talents. And when you get to live out your purpose in life, it's so great. And that's the fifth foundation to build your life on. We want to help you get there. Amen? So sign up for the classes. Go to the classes. It'll be great. You'll love it. It'll be great. All right, cool. Now, we're going to get into our message today. If you have your Bibles, you have your Bibles with you. If not, we'll put the verses on the screen. And so what we've been doing through this series is going through each week these purposes. Week one, we talked about evangelism, how you begin a relationship with the Lord. The following week, we talked about worship. We talked about how each of the elements of our service help us to worship. Last week was on grow, as I mentioned. Today is on community. And so in your notes, you can write this down, Formed for God's Family. That's our title. Formed for God's Family. We want to help you be formed in God's family. And so Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to be today. And so let's look at this for just a moment in Ephesians 2. And just before I start reading, let me just give you a little explanation of what is going on. So the Apostle Paul, he was an apostle. An apostle was one that helped start churches, and they still help start churches today. So apostles, just because it has a fancy church name, doesn't mean we're finished starting churches. But the Apostle Paul was one of the original apostles to help start churches. And what he would do is, after he started churches, he would write a letter back to those churches and give them instructions on how to continue to manage their church and how to grow and things like that. And so what we see in Ephesians is a letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus that helped them understand the need to be connected with a community of believers. And so now we get to Ephesians 2:11 in the letter that he wrote. And he said, don't forget, and he's talking to these people in Ephesus and the church there. He said, don't forget that you, Gentiles, used to be outsiders. So first, who were the Gentiles, and why were they outsiders? And so the Gentiles simply are non-Jews. So these are the people that were not Jews. Now, a Jew was anyone who belonged to the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Gentiles were everyone else. And so even today, we still are designated in that way. So Jews and Gentiles, and generally everyone in here would be a Gentile, unless I don't know everyone's background. I don't know if maybe you are Jewish in your background, but generally we're all Gentiles. And so when it says, don't forget that you, that's really speaking to most of us, all of us in the room today. Don't forget that you were outsiders. Now the Jews, they had these strict rules they followed. They had regulations and they had customs that they followed. They had important festivals that they followed religiously in their customs. They had, it determined, you know, what they ate. It determined what they wore. It even determined who they associated with. And the Jewish people kind of had a long, you know, well, they were just long in their pride about their designation as God's chosen people. And so they formed this very tight, secured, close community that non-Jews could not enter. And so they were outsiders. Gentiles were outsiders. That was until Jesus came and changed all of that. And so Paul said to these Gentiles in Ephesus, he said in verse 12, he said, in those days you were living apart from Christ. And he said, because of that, you were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promise God had made them. You lived in this world, so this was before Christ, you lived in this world without God and without hope. Now, that's to all of us today, like we all have in those days. In those days, before you know Christ, then you live without a relationship with God and you live without hope. And so all of us have those days. Hopefully you have a day where you meet Christ. And that's what it says in verse 13. But now, speaking to these Gentiles and even to us, but now you have been united with Christ. And because of that, you were once far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So he's teaching them in Ephesus here. He says in verse 19, he says, so now what? Now that they know Christ, now that they have believed in him as their Savior, it says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are now citizens along with all of God's holy people. And I love this line. You are members of God's family. You're members of his family. So in your notes, write this down. God wants me to belong to his family. God wants me to belong to his family. He loves me. He loves you. And he wants you to be in his family. God wants every person to be members of his spiritual family. And that's why Jesus came and he died for the payment of our sins. It's the sin that separated us from God. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard, the law. And Jesus came and he paid for our sins so that we can come into relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now the Jews, in their custom, in order to pay for a sin, they had to sacrifice an animal. And every time they sinned, they sacrificed a sheep or a goat or something of that nature. And that was how they paid for their sin. That was the payment for their penalty. And that's what leveled them with God. Now, what we learn is that Jesus came and he now paid for our sin at the cross. And he became the sacrifice once and for all. And all who believe in Jesus Christ now have their sins forgiven. And they are now adopted into God's family. And now we're part of the citizenship of God's family, this one big family. And so when you believe in God, you are formed into God's family. God wants you to belong to his family. Amen? So back to Ephesus here, the scripture we're reading. And so Paul was teaching them that they were once outsiders. They believe in Jesus. Gentiles are now part of God's family. And now in verse 20, he begins to teach them about joining or being a part of a community of believers. And so in verse 20, he carries on for these outsiders, now insiders, God's family, and he says, together we are his house. His house. Now, we use that term sometimes to be synonymous with church, and it fits here. We are together, we are his church. And it's okay to use church here because what you read in the next phrase, it says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Remember Apostle Paul. He helped plant churches. That was his role. That's why he was called an apostle, one that helped plant churches. Prophets partnered with them a lot of times to plant churches and start churches. And so now he's saying, together we are his house, or the church that was built off of these church planters. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. And verse 21 says, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And so look at this progression that Paul was teaching. You're outsiders, you believe in Jesus, you're part of his family, and then he says, come together as a church. And so once you make a decision to follow Christ, you need a place for worship and people for community. And that's what Paul was teaching. Great, you're saved, but now you need people in your life to walk it out with you. The Bible describes the material that makes up the church not as actual stones, but as people. People are what make up the church. And so we are the living stones of a church. And it says that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Now, listen, I don't do construction. It's too hard. So I decided to be a pastor because you just get to talk and it's great. So I love it. You ought to choose being a pastor. But those of you who are people in construction, you know it's hard work. And so I brought my construction bucket because I want to show you a little bit about, glad I work out. But I want to show you a little bit about cornerstone. Because a cornerstone is mentioned that Jesus is the cornerstone. And so what is a cornerstone? Well, a cornerstone would be a block that was used in their culture of that day. Now, today when you build something, you don't use a cornerstone. You have like devices that would tell you exactly where to lay the foundation, and you'd have little, fancy stuff to do it. Back then they didn't have fancy stuff to do it. And so they used a cornerstone, and the cornerstone represented the first stone that was laid to build a building or the temple. And so it was had to be the perfect stone. It had to be chiseled and have exact 90-degree angles. And so the masonry people would make the stone exactly perfect, because it had to be the first stone, the cornerstone of a building. And then from that cornerstone, they would build other stones off of it. And so the cornerstone became the foundation. And so let me just say to you in your personal life that Jesus is the cornerstone. He becomes the foundation that you align your life to. He becomes the foundation that you build your life on. That's why we are teaching on the five purposes. One of those purposes is to begin a relationship with Jesus. He becomes your cornerstone. Listen, you can still, maybe have a good career, be pretty good in marriage and things. But listen, your life will never be as secure and stable and strong if you build it without a cornerstone. He's the cornerstone that we build our life on. And so we have a cornerstone. The Bible says Jesus is the cornerstone. Now, I want you to look at 1 Peter 2. And it says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. So we're just seeing the same terminology restated here. Now, he says that he, and this is Jesus, was rejected by people, but was chosen by God for great honor. But here's the interesting part. So we have Jesus as the cornerstone, and now it says, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So who is you? Us. Everybody pat yourself. That's me. You are a living stone being built into a spiritual temple. That's why when we talk about, like, we have our building campaign going on, and we're raising money, and we want to build this building over on our 17 acres, and that's all great and all, but we're not building steeples, we're always building peoples, and that's what this is talking about. That's funny, isn't it? stay with me. Because we are building living stones. We're building people. And the people are what we build with. So here are the living stones. And what you do is the living stones have to line up with the cornerstone. And so the cornerstone is perfect. And so we begin to put living stones. We become the church. The church isn't actually these blocks. We are living stones. The blocks, we represent the blocks. We represent these stones that are being built around the cornerstone. And so some things to think about as the church is being built around the cornerstone. These living stones have to be connected in order to be part of the church, to be connected to the cornerstone. A lot of people love God, they just don't like the church. A lot of people love God, but the people side is messy. That's why construction is hard. If you're going to build a building, you're going to get dirty. And you know what's interesting is when they were putting these stones together, they didn't get to go to Lowe's and get perfectly made bricks. They found just rocks, and they began to chisel them so that one rock would fit beside the other rock. And so, people, we have to get chiseled and cut. And sometimes it begins to feel awkward and it's bothering us. But if we want to be connected, if we want to be built, then we're going to have to allow God to align us with what He is trying to align us to look like. And sometimes it's just kind of hard. You know what's interesting too is sometimes God puts us beside a block maybe that we're having some issues with. Do you know God will place you beside people that are different than you? Because if everybody was just like you, nothing would ever chisel anything off of you. And so He puts some people that are shaped different, look different, act different, maybe somebody you've been in a disagreement with, because He wants you to come together and work that stuff out. See, being built together, carefully joined, is not easy work, is it, church? I want to take this deeper if I can. I want to just take this to a whole nother level. So I'm going to need some help. I want to demonstrate what a community looks like. So I need people. And so so y'all are sweating. Are you going to pick me? Are you going to pick me? Who am I going to pick? So I need someone kind of younger. Oh, you're perfect. Come here, sweetheart. We've been friends a long time. I don't mind picking on you. Come here, stand right in front of this TV monitor right there. Isn't she cute, everybody? Now, I need somebody a little older. So who's a little older that can help me out? Come here, Mountain Bird. You got a good personality. You don't mind me saying you're a little older, do you? That's awesome. Older and wiser, amen. Just stand right here, stay right there, stand right beside her. All right, so now the church is diverse, right? It's like we can't all be the same. So I have a diversity coach, by the way, in my life. This is my diversity coach. We meet regularly and she helps me see what I can't see. Oh, we're stuck.
Sorry, my worship team.
Oh, your worship. All right, you stand right there beside her. All right, I need a dude. Because we got all girls, so I need a dude. Who's gonna be my dude? Here comes a dude. Come here, dude. Come up here. You go stand on the other side of Mountain Bird over there. Awesome. You're the man. You're the man. All right. What am I missing? We have anybody from a different country here? We have someone maybe that is from Brazil or. All right. Allison's up here all the time. We'll get somebody new. How are you today?
Fine.
Great. Come up here and stand beside Allison. This is so good. This is so good. How's our church looking? See, the church are being fit together and built together. So generally what people do is they gather on Sunday. And so when we gather on Sunday, like we did, we all stand beside each other, right? And then when we worship, you know, we put our hands up. Let's all worship a little bit. Everybody put a hand up. You want to sing? Christ alone, cornerstone. Y'all didn't help me at all. When I sing bad, you sing good. So generally, though, we come and we gather together and we stand beside each other. But I want you to know there's a difference between gathering and connecting. There's a difference. Gathering, our hands are up, all about Jesus. When we are connecting in a community, we link arms together. Let's link our arms together. Everybody get real close. And we link our arms together. Now, you stay there. Okay. You stay linked. So we link together. Now, what does that look like? Now, we support each other. We are connecting together. And when we're connected together, then we have strength together. As an example, like in the Bible, it talks about how we have unique gifts that are in the church body. And so let's just say, for instance, that he has the gift of finances on his life. And let's just say, just like he's just brilliant when it comes to finances. And let's say down here, she could use a little help with the gift of finances. Because they're connected, we get to participate in a church body that can add their gifts to one another. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, it says that if you walk with the wise, you become wise. And so listen, if you are linked with the wise, then you get to use the benefits of the wise and you get to get help. Unfortunately, too many people are not connected, and when they need help in their life, they're not finding someone with that gift. Like someone may be here that needs some help in their marriage. Who are you going to talk to if you're not connected? There are people in our church that are anointed for marriage. They've got a gift on it. There are people that are anointed in finance and business, and people that are anointed in education. And man, there may be some tutors out here. Maybe you need a tutor. The thing is, if you're disconnected, you don't get to walk with the wise and get wise by being connected to it. Amen? Now, here's what happens when you're connected. Let's just say, for instance, she's having problems in her life. You don't. But let's just pretend. Because, hey, do we all have problems from time to time? Yeah. All right, so we all have problems. Now, y'all get a good arm on. Now, let's just say she's having problems, and I want you to do me a favor, and I want y'all not to drop her. I want you to act like you're kind of going to your knees. Now, if you're connected, they're not going to let her fall, right? Because I got her. So if he tries to fall, we're together in this thing. So when the enemy tries to attack, because the enemy's going to come against you. So let's say the enemy comes against her right here. You know what's going to happen when the enemy comes against her? Well, those that are in her family are going to go, not on our turf. Not with my girl, not with my people, because we're connected. Now, I'm going to gently push you, just gently. I'm going to be the devil, all right? And y'all are going to make sure she can't fall, because this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to, and what happens is she needs a family that stands with her, that when the enemy comes, he can't get to her. Even sometimes what we do is we don't form lines, we form circles, and we surround you and we pray you through together. Sometimes temptations come into our life. All of you have been tempted. You'll all be tempted again. Jesus was tempted, doesn't make it a sin. So you're going to go through temptations. And sometimes when temptations come into your life, what happens with someone when temptations come, so act like you're going to walk away, but she's not going to let you. See, we all need, atta girl. Hey, we all need people in our life that when we begin to mess it up and we start going into temptation, we need somebody to grab us and say, what are you doing, bro? Why are you going there? Stop going there. Get back in, you know, get back in line with us, you know? You can put your arms down. Let me tell you what most people do. Most people go to church and they stand beside each other every week. We have a lot of people who are great church goers. They go, but they're not connected. And then when something goes wrong in their life, I want you to do me a favor. Something just went wrong in your life. I want you to start kneeling. Just, there you go. Listen, nobody was there to pick her up. You can get back up. And here's what happens to so many people. Things go wrong in their life. They're not connected. And when it goes wrong, you know what they do? Can I just step on a toe? You all right? What too many people do is they'll say, hey, I was going through a hard time and the church wasn't there for me. And the problem was, is all you were doing was going to church, but you weren't connected in church. And no one knew, and no one was a part of your life to know how to help you. And so, church, I want to say this to you. Stop going to church and start being the church and get connected. We have to be connected. Amen? Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, let's give God a great clap. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Awesome, awesome. So good. Stop going to church. Hey, if you're taking notes while I'm cleaning up here, you can write this down. God does not want me to do life alone. God does not want me to do life alone. A few years ago, I was going to the movies with some friends. Hey, Fidel. Thank you, buddy. Where'd you come from? That was awesome. So I was going to the movies with a couple friends, Matt Blair being one of those friends a few years back. And by the way, Matt Blair, if you don't know Matt, he was on staff here for 5 years, planted a church in Tampa. Last Sunday, he was on a $100,000 pyramid. He won 50 grand on a $100,000 pyramid. Awesome. It was so great. I was watching it sweating, like, oh, please get it right. He crushed it. It was awesome. Hey, good news. Matt will be here next week to be leading worship with us in a couple songs. And so you want to come back and be a part of that. He's an amazing worship leader, and he's exciting. So, but Matt and I went to the movies together with these other guys. And so we walked in, and the theater was really empty. It was like middle of the day, like nobody was there except us and like five or six guys. And so we went and we sat down, and I sat down and I looked at Matt and I said, I looked down there and one of the guys was like six chairs down. I said, Matt, like, what's he doing way down there? And Matt looked at me and goes, dude, what are you doing right here? He said, we're supposed to have a bro buffer seat. I said, what is a bro buffer seat? He's like, dude, we're in this theater and dudes don't like sit together with, we need a bro buffer seat. I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna hold your hand, but I did come to the movies with you. Do you know, I went to the movies with five friends and I was still alone. So many people go to church and they're still alone. God doesn't want you to do life alone. Let's take us to one last scripture for today. Ecclesiastes 4:8 says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. And it says, there was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. So there was a man who was all alone. A lonely fella. He went to Life Community Church. He went to church a lot, but he didn't have his family there, his church family. And it says there was no end to his toil. You know what that means? Because he was alone, there was no one there to help share the burdens with him. There was no one there to pick him up. There was no one there to say, hey, I can help you through this. The Bible says in this next verse about that we should share each other's burdens. Share each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Share each other's burdens. Man, you're really going to wish that you had shared someone's burdens when it's time for someone to share your burdens. And so I want to encourage you to get connected. If you go back to the original verse there, it says that a man was alone, and then he was not content. He was not content. What does that mean? That means that he took his eyes off of God and put them on his wealth. He began to put his trust in his wealth or into his hobbies or into something else. He took his eyes off of God, and because he was all alone, he didn't have a brother come beside him and go, "What are you doing? Why are you spending all your Sundays at the beach? Why are you spending all your focus on building this whatever? You need God." And he was alone. God doesn't want you to be alone. And so there's two ways we want to encourage you to get connected at Life CC. And the first is through joining a small group. This is our way we get you connected. This is how we build friends. This is how we build our relationships. And so a small group is just a group of people who meet together regularly. They meet in homes and coffee shops, neighborhoods, clubhouses. They meet at the beach. They meet at parks, and they build relationships. They talk about sermons and devotions, and they pray for each other. They just build a relationship together. We would love for you to join one of the small groups so you can get connected, so that you have people in your life, so that you link arms with other people, so you don't just go to church, you be the church. And so we'd love for you to do that. Now, we're going to launch these groups this fall. And so this is a little recruitment for if you want to help facilitate a group. We'd love for you to be a small group facilitator. And you're thinking, "Oh, I don't know how to do it." We're going to teach you everything. You don't have to memorize all the books of the Bible in a row. You don't have to know stuff like that. You just need to be a great facilitator. We'd love to partner with you and help you do it. So today, when you leave here, go out through the lobby on the left. There's a place for to get in small groups. And if you would say, "Hey, I'll take one of the groups," because we need to launch probably 25 new groups for the fall. So I need about 25, maybe call it 50 of you. It'd be great to get involved by leading a group. And the rest of you can sign up. It'd be great. Also, the second thing is you can join a serve team. A serve team is another way to get connected in our church. When we serve together, we talk together, we get to know each other. It's another way to build those relationships. Amen, church? Amen. Awesome. Hey, I want to close with a prayer. And I just want to also just say that if you have never begun a relationship with Jesus, he is the cornerstone to build your life on. And so if you came to church and somehow you got here, a friend invited you, we're so glad you came. But one of the things we want to do is to give you an opportunity to begin that relationship with Jesus. And we do this through a real simple prayer today. It may be simple, but it's the most profound, greatest prayer and decision you'll ever make in your life. And so in just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance just to receive Jesus as your Savior. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for this moment. I thank you for this church. We thank you that Jesus is our cornerstone. Father, if there are people here that have never begun a relationship with you, would you just let this be that day for them? And can I take this moment with every head bowed? If you're here and you've never begun a relationship and you want today to be that day, you want to just know that today that you have started a relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone here? Would you just raise your hand? It's just me and you. Just lift it up to me. I'd just love to see your hand. Is there anybody here? Well, Lord, we just thank you for this moment. And God, I thank you that through your word we can grow and get stronger. And Lord, help us all to get connected in a community this year. In Jesus' name. Amen, church.